Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, Mary Jo.
Good morning, Daniel.
Did you survive Final Four Saturday?
Yeah. Better than Oklahoma and Syracuse did, for sure.
Yeah.
There's so much build-up to the Final Four, and obviously, you know, with our team being out, it wasn't like there was a whole lot on the line where I had a bunch of emotions entangled into these games. But you want them to be good.
It was the worst since, I think, 1965 in terms of each semifinal being decided by 17 points or more. The worst since 1965.
Well, and that first game was the worst since, like,
ever.
World War II.
Yeah, ever. The 44 points is the most.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Semifinal history. No other team has ever lost to another team in this national semifinals by 44 points.
The stat I saw on Twitter.
Lucky us.
Yeah, the stat
this
I saw on
year.
Twitter was Oklahoma had lost 7 games all season long by a combined 40 points.
Yeah.
And then lose by 44 in the Final Four. God. Just a brutal way to watch Buddy Hield walk off the floor. That was the worst part of the night. Just watching him, like, ugh.
Villanova couldn't miss.
No.
And then Oklahoma was finally like, I don't know what to do anymore. You guys are making everything. We've kind of given it our all. Let's just get out of here.
Did they give it their all? I think there were some people questioning that.
For a little while, I think they tried. And Villanova couldn't miss.
And they had a lid on it. I mean, Oklahoma would take, would sometimes have 3 shots at the basket within 2 feet, and it just wouldn't go in. It was just, you say one of those nights, but I mean, it was even more than one of those nights.
This is not the Villanova team that I watched lose to Seton Hall.
No.
Which, you know, I didn't watch much Villanova basketball at all during the season. Just saw scores. You know, they were thumped handily a few times after they
including by Oklahoma.
Right. Yes. And so, so I thought, well, they're suspect anyway, given their history and everything. Well, Big East Championship's on. I'll watch them. You know, see what I think about their chances in the tournament. They get beat by Seton Hall. I'm like, all right, same old Villanova. They're not getting out of my Sweet 16 in the bracket. Now here they are.
And now I'm pulling for them to win.
Yes.
For sure.
Absolutely. So this guy, speaking of brackets, mine is nowhere close, I don't think. I think I might have North Carolina, did not have Syracuse, did not have Villanova. I did have Oklahoma.
I had Oklahoma in the Final Four in North Carolina, and then I had it Kansas, North Carolina in the championship game.
Yeah. So, this guy from Syracuse, lives in Syracuse, works in Syracuse. He picked the Final Four right, and he's got the Final Two teams right. He's got North Carolina and Villanova in the championship.
And he had Syracuse, yeah.
Yeah, he had Syracuse there. In Yahoo's bracket, he is the co-leader. The co-leader in Yahoo's bracket. He is a refugee from Sudan who has never filled out a bracket before. And he got 48 of 60 right. So he's the co-leader. He forgot to pick a winner. He can't win the $50,000 prize.
God.
I'll just jump off a bridge at this point. Go back to Sudan. That's it. I don't belong here. I'm leaving. I've come to America and screwed up the dream. Because I couldn't be more perfect. You could, you know, give the bracket to a kid. And maybe have as good of a chance. 48 out of 60? He admits, I don't know much about basketball. I'm, you know, like a fan, but I've never even filled out a bracket before.
They need to make, Josh said this off air, but they need to make it where you can't submit it until you have every pick filled out.
Right. Like if you're filling out and buying.
Like you didn't pick a winner, go back and pick a winner and then hit submit.
Yeah, like if you're buying something online and it has the little, you know, column or area that you must fill out. We must have a phone number. So we can't continue now. You haven't given us this bit of information. You got to do this. Yes.
So, of course, you can listen to the championship game here tomorrow night. What do you think happens? Because I just, North Carolina looks awfully good at every position, and they couldn't hit a three last night for anything. So their shooting was abysmal from deep. But Villanova, I mean, you can't keep up that pace. You can't shoot 70% again.
No.
Like, that's just crazy.
There's no way that's going to happen.
So I guess I lean toward North Carolina winning that game, but I don't know. There's a little bit of a way where this.
Well, Villanova's got a good backcourt.
Yeah.
And they play good defense, and then they do have a decent front court, too. North Carolina's front court is better, but it's not like Oklahoma, which had no front court.
No.
But I really thought Oklahoma would still have a better game against Villanova than 44-point loss. So after seeing that, who knows?
Well, and then I saw before the game that Buddy Hield was 17 points away from setting the single-season school record for points.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, for sure.
Yeah, he's got this.
Oh, then he had 9. Oh, just a brutal way to
end it.
Yeah. End it.
That's too bad. Well, today on the show, we'll have John Hale join us from the Louisville Courier-Journal at 9:30 talking UK football. Of course, there was scrimmage yesterday. Kentucky had its second scrimmage of the spring. See, it has one more left. Next Saturday is a scrimmage, and then the following Saturday, the 16th, would be the blue and white game, which we didn't have last year. Couldn't even go and watch it. This year, you'll be able to go. Free tickets, but you still have to get one. It'll be at Commonwealth Stadium. So we'll talk to John Hale about some UK football. Of course, the Florida Derby, Nyquist ran away with it. Looked super impressive.
And just will now be the...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, overwhelming favorite for the Derby.
If you didn't take Todd Schrupp's advice and bet on TVG of $20 or more to win on Nyquist or Mohamed or whatever, then you're looking at 1-to-1 odds for the Derby, or 4-to-5 or something where you can't make money.
Not 9-to-1.
But their deal was triple the odds. So Nyquist will enter the Derby in really good shape and the prohibitive favorite. Spiral Stakes was a super surprise. Ken and Sarah Ramsey's Kitten's Joy Colt, Oscar nominated, wins it at 23-to-1 under a fill-in jockey, Brian Hernandez Jr., because Robbie Alvarado, the scheduled rider, didn't make weight.
And the guy who filled out the bracket can maybe relate to what Ken Ramsey's going through today.
Yes. Because, you know, the Ramseys now have a Derby horse because the Spiral was worth 50 points to the winner. So they're in. They can go to the Derby. They had planned on going to the Derby, but not with this horse. They nominated 8 other horses to the Triple Crown. Oscar nominated, the winner of the Spiral Stakes, is not Triple Crown nominated.
With the word nominated in its name.
I know. So that means they have to pay the Ramseys $200,000 for a supplemental entry into the Derby. So they could go to the Derby, but it's going to cost them $200,000. Ken Ramsey said, hey, all you folks out there that might have $200,000, I'll tell you what I'll do. You put up the $200,000 for this horse, and I will split the Triple Crown earnings with you 50-50. So for this horse, what is the Derby? Is it a $5 million race now? Is that right? So that could be, I would imagine, that's around close to $2 million for the winner. Like 1.6, 1.8, if it's a $5 million purse. Because the Florida Derby was a $1 million race, and the winner's share was $600,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nyquist got that $1 million Faison Tipton sales bonus. Yes.
The whole reason they really...
Yeah, the only reason they went. Yeah. So they made $1.6 million, the Nyquist team did. So Mr. Ramsey is saying, over these 3 races, the Triple Crown, whatever we get, whatever earnings we have, you'll get 50% of it if you put up the $200,000. So, I mean, quite possibly you could come away with, you know, you could triple your money in the first race.
Yes.
But it's a big risk, but it's a nice reward. So that's pretty interesting. If we can get Mr.
He's
Ramsey's,
eliminated the people in this room, unfortunately.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But if we can get him on the show this morning, we'll have him. We're going to try. We'll see what we can do. UK baseball team is down in Tennessee this weekend. has a series deciding game three today. The UK softball team, unfortunately, has already lost its series to number three, Auburn. But big crowds out there this weekend, Friday and Saturday. And so there's...
Dustin Beggs, by the way, went to 7-0.
Yeah, he did. Sure
did.
I mean,
he's unstoppable on Saturdays, isn't he?
Looking good. Well, we'll talk about all this stuff and more right here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show. 381-1313 is the number to call. In 15 minutes, we'll talk UK football with John Hale. And then we'll take your phone calls, answer your questions, talk about basketball, Major League Baseball opening day. We can talk about that. Whatever you want to do, we'll do it on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Cinemax movie, bought my boot bigger the than Dan a bigger
and Mary arrow. Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Catch the Dan and Mary Jo Show Saturday and Sunday, brought to you by Republic Bank. It's just easier here.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
I've always been amused when I see insurance commercials with TV and movie actors pitching their company like a carnival barker. They hope you trust the actor, but I'll tell you this, I don't trust any of them. I've seen too much. I've seen claims for property damage, life insurance, and disability lowballed or denied, like a bad movie. I've seen people sign away their rights after a car accident because they trusted the adjuster and didn't have a lawyer present.
Not clean hands, dirty hands.
I've seen families' lives destroyed because these companies' goals are to take in insurance premiums and give you the short end of the stick for profit. Life is not a movie, it's real. Hire a real law firm who's fought for you right at 30 years. So please visit ForThePeople.com for more information about our firm, our results, and our lawyers. Morgan & Morgan, For the People.
Offices Lexington.
They did it! They pulled off the upset.
That was madness.
Yeah, and now we can celebrate with Mad Mushroom Pizza.
It's really convenient that they have online ordering and fast, friendly delivery, so they don't have to miss a second of the game.
That's right. With the slam dunk combo of an extra large one-topping pizza and a medium cheese stick, our day's going to be filled with basketball madness and the best pizza in town.
Another upset. I love it. And to celebrate, I'm getting another slice of Mad Mushroom Pizza.
Mad Mushroom Pizza is located off South Broadway under the Lex Apartments and in the Clay's Mill Shopping Center.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
For a free Life Alert brochure, call 800-981-1229. That's 800-981-1229. Call now at 800-981-1229 to get a free brochure. 800-981-1229.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
In 15 minutes, we will have on the phone with us John Hale from the Louisville Courier-Journal and talk about UK football, spring practice, the second scrimmage of the spring yesterday. And then the Final Four was just, I mean, if you don't even want to talk basketball, we don't have to. It was so horrible.
Now, I do think the championship game looks like it should be better.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
If it's a blowout, that's it. I'm done. And then we're done with basketball, so it's all about football. On the phone, Dale with us. Dale, good morning.
Morning, Dale.
Good morning. How are y'all doing today?
We're doing well.
Boy, UK basketball, baseball game looked good yesterday with Bags. 7-0, that's the first time in team history anybody's gone 7-0, the way I understand.
Yeah, they started keeping up with that, I guess, like starts to the season, consecutive starts, one. And I don't know why it only goes back to 2002, but it only does. But since 2002.
They've been playing a lot longer than that.
I know. But Brent Ingram over there, who is the SID for baseball, said it only goes back to 02 as far as they call that like the modern history, which is kind of fun. Yeah, the modern era, which is kind of funny. But, yeah, no other U.K. pitcher, as far as they can tell, has started his career with seven consecutive wins. And Dustin Beggs did it, sure enough, yesterday, 7-0 down in Knoxville after getting destroyed Friday night. Yeah. Did U.K. Comes back to win it 5-4 on Saturday.
I know. It was a good game. The reason I called was on the girls' softball yesterday.
Yes.
And, I hear bits and pieces of it. But the way I understand the game was played under protest. Auburn played the game under protest because of substitution. I'd like to know if you know anything about that, and I'll hang up and listen. And thanks for taking my call.
No, I do not know anything about that. I appreciate the phone call, and no, I didn't hear anything on that. Did you, Mary Jo?
No, I didn't at all.
Well, Auburn and Kentucky. Auburn is number three, by the way, in the country. A big series. UK softball team entering this weekend, tied with Florida for first place in the SEC, with only one loss, 8-1. So coming into this weekend, ranked number 12, hosting the number 3 ranked team in the country, Auburn, who came into the series with 3 losses already in the SEC. So this was a chance for UK at home to really go up against, you know, the best of the best here, number 3 team in the country, and show they belong right there at the top of the SEC. And unfortunately for the UK softball team, that first game, Auburn, by the way, has the most explosive offense in the country. They score more runs than anybody. And they showed it that first night, Friday night, 9-0. And then yesterday, though, was a closer game, 6-5 UK lost to Auburn. And UK had a sold-out crowd yesterday, over 1,600 in attendance. Friday's was well-attended, I think like 1,500, something like that. And so UK now 31-7. 8-3 in the SEC, tied with Auburn for second in the SEC. So they're both one game back of Florida. So if Kentucky can avoid the sweep today, they would, you know, be up on Auburn still.
So here's what I can find. There was a 27-minute delay at the start of the sixth inning due to Auburn putting the game under protest because of lineup switches by Kentucky. And that's kind of the only thing this says. Auburn was ahead at the time. Kentucky made it closer, 6-5. Auburn was up 6-3 at the time when play resumed. But yeah, I don't know. That's kind of all that's there's said about it.
Well, Kentucky was down 6-4 in the bottom of the sixth. Brooklyn Hines on third base after a double allowed her to score Abby Cheek and make it a 6-4 game. Brianne Ray then hit a foul ball to the first base side, which was caught for the second out of the inning and scored Hines from third. So that's how that inning went. So, I don't know, something in there where somebody batted out of order, is that what they're saying?
Yeah, it must be.
Interesting. Well, UK softball team tries to, you know, stay in second place, win this game, and not get swept at home by Auburn. So it's on the SEC Network Plus at 1 o'clock, or you can go out to John Cropp Stadium and watch it. UK baseball team, meanwhile, has series deciding game 3 today at 2 o'clock in Knoxville. That's also on the SEC Network Plus. UK looking for a third straight series win to begin SEC play. Beat Georgia in Athens, took 2 of 3 down there.
Number 1 Florida.
Yep, won 2 of 3 last weekend at Cliff Hagan Stadium. And now looking for 2 of 3 from Tennessee. I mean, the Kentucky baseball team jumped up to number 12 in the collegiate baseball rankings this week after taking that series from Florida.
Yeah.
Tennessee
that was
is not
huge
ranked.
Huge jump.
Yes, big jump from nowhere. Gunnar McNeil extended his school record hit streak to 22 games. Evan White is up to 20 games. So if Gunnar McNeil's streak ends, Evan White just needs a couple games to keep it up, and he'll break the school record. So that's pretty interesting there, but Dustin Beggs has been phenomenal. 8 innings yesterday, 8 strikeouts, no walks.
Mm-hmm.
He is 7-0, but here's what we asked Brent Ingram this last weekend, I think, is the Friday and Sunday starters were, Friday especially, Zach Brown, been difficult Kentucky has lost the Friday game in these SEC series every week now, three weeks in a row. And it's not been close. Like, Friday night.
What, 14-5?
Yeah, and this one guy, he hit for the cycle and had 8 RBI.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Yes. So if you set yourself up that way, Beggs is phenomenal. But you can't be, I mean, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him then. Hey, you know we're going to lose.
And a lot of pressure on the Sunday guy.
Right.
Because you can't have clinched the series.
Yeah, that means Beggs can't lose. He cannot lose. Not allowed to lose. Like, hey, look, you know how we struggle on Friday night. You better bring it on Saturday.
And so far he's done that, but that's a tough thing to keep up.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. And then, but at the same way, you don't want to switch and put Beggs on Friday because he's used to pitching on Saturday. And, you know, baseball is just so weird that way. Hey, we're going to put you on Fridays, okay? And then all of a sudden, you know, he loses 3 in a row.
Yes.
You're like, why did I mess with him? He was doing fine on Saturday.
Yes.
So you don't touch that. You cannot touch Dustin Beggs on Saturday. He's got to be there. Or if he has to be your game one starter in the postseason for a regional or something like that, he can't do that either, you know? So at some point, he's got to go. So I don't know. But you definitely can't continue to lose every Friday night and just not be anywhere.
You dig yourself a hole all the time.
Yeah, to the point where they just had to save their bullpen. They knew they were losing so bad that they just had to save their bullpen for the weekend. So now today, that game at 2 o'clock, SEC Network Plus, Tennessee and Kentucky. So that'll be something to watch for today. The UK football, the scrimmage, by the way, Stoops said the defense kind of looked good there and shut down the offense early.
But they like the way that Drew came back.
Right. I guess Drew Barker had two series in the first half of their scrimmage. And they didn't do anything with either one of them. Did nothing. But then came back, and the very first possession of the second half of the scrimmage, Barker led him on a touchdown drive. And then the second team offense let him down for a field goal. So they felt better, Eddie Grand said, the offense coordinator, about the coming back from the adversity, but they didn't convert on third downs in the scrimmage very well. The defense did well on first down, he said. So they never stayed ahead of the chains. Also said that they didn't run the ball as much in the scrimmage because they wanted to see what the quarterbacks could handle in bad situations. So by design, they wanted to see, well, what are you going to do if this is the situation? So it's kind of good because we heard how well the offense did last week, the open practice and a couple of 70-yard touchdown drives that Drew Barker led them on. The defense needs to kind of step up, and it was good to hear that they did.
So is this the point where you start getting really jazzed about how much better this football team is going to be this fall?
No.
Okay.
No, that's not what I'm doing.
I still get a little nervous.
I am just repeating.
Sometimes you do that.
Yes.
I think we all do that.
Yes.
I mean, that's just what we do. And then sometimes in these scrimmages, we forget, they went up against Kentucky's defense.
Mm-hmm.
Not Alabama's.
No, I am just repeating what was said by the players and coaches after the scrimmage. Drew Barker said, we did come out slow, but you have to give credit to the DBs.
And the DBs are good. Listen, yes. We know that. We know that the secondary played well last year, and they're going to, I think they're going to be just fine.
He said they look really good.
That's the strength of the team. What I did like seeing was that, and you never know because, you know, I wasn't at the press conference, so you never fully know if it's because everyone keeps asking about him, so that's why the coaches have to talk about him, or if they're kind of bringing it up because they saw something. But Cash Daniel got a lot of praise yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the game needs, you know, is fast for him at this point, and he's still got, you know, a long, long way to go. But what they're seeing from him already as a true freshman, I think this coaching staff really likes, which is not a surprise to anyone who's followed Cash Daniel.
Yeah, Cash Daniel, Stoops was asked about him, and and Stoops had good things to say. Just that,
and I think so did DJ Elliott.
Mm-hmm. But what happens when they ask about cash, or at least in the case of Stoops, is I think he threw in Jordan Jones. I think DJ Elliott also threw in Jordan Jones. Like they keep throwing in Jordan Jones' name. So he'll be the guy to be excited about, I think, at linebacker, just because they say he is not only does he make plays, but he's vocal, very vocal. So I guess he probably gets on, or I think Elliott said he can be annoying, which means he's, you know, he's running his mouth a little bit, and other players are probably don't care for that much. But if you've got that kind of attitude, that's what you're looking for, a little bit of bravado, a little bit of nastiness. And, you know, Jordan Jones is a name, when he first got here, I think he might have been in the first spring, like a gray shirt or not gray shirt, but just enrolled early. But I just remember being able to talk to DJ Elliott off to the side, and I asked about a specific player, and we hadn't started the interview yet, but I was just asking about a specific player, and he was like, maybe you shouldn't do a story on that guy. Just, you know, just a heads up. You know, he's not going to be a factor just yet. And then he said, I tell you who, and said Jordan Jones. So this was, you know, a year ago or more. Mm-hmm. So he's been someone they've been looking for to come on for a while. But it's all question marks at linebacker. And when they're asked about Matt Elam, it's not, they don't answer the question like they answer it when they're asked about Cash Daniel. Yeah.
Well, also because Cash is, I mean,
yeah,
you know, we're 3 weeks in
with
Cash. So any good thing that he's done is great, and any bad thing that he's done is expected because he's a true freshman.
But as far as Matt Elam goes, they said getting a little bit better at consistency. But he's going to be big. He's going to be a big deal.
He's going to have to be.
Yeah.
And it's almost going to be a really big deal if he's not.
It will be. Because Melvin Lewis was a really big deal that he wasn't in there, and Matt Elam was. So, for sure. I remember being in the fall camp, in preseason training camp, and like Jimmy Brumbaugh maybe saying that position, the zero technique as they call it, nose guard, is the most important position on the field for defense. You're like, maybe, I would think maybe the linebacker's responsibilities, you know, calling out stuff. But then you see it. You see what it just sets things up.
And when there's a hole there, you know it. By the way, real quick before we get to John Hale, I do want to mention, and I tweeted it out earlier this week, but Jen Smith from the Herald Leader had an awesome story on Eddie Grant.
Oh, yeah.
But if you haven't read it, you should really check it out, and just gives you some insight as to maybe, you know, how he is, why he is as a person, a family's tragedy with him and his ex-wife. And they had a daughter with special needs who was only supposed to live a couple of weeks. She lived to be 6 years old.
Yes.
And just how much that relates to his life every day. And it's a wonderful story. And Jen Smith did an awesome job. So check it out if you haven't.
Yes, absolutely. I read that and highly recommend it for sure. All right, we'll take a break. Next, we'll talk to the Louisville Courier-Journal's John Hale on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Guys, did you know that Mom and Dad are giving away a free cat?
What? I want a kitten.
No, let's get a puppy.
No. They aren't giving away a kitten. They're giving away an Arctic cat from MLS Power Sports.
Oh. But Mom said something about a cat in a hat.
Yay, I love Dr. Seuss.
No, Grace, I know what she's talking about. There's not going to be a cat in a hat. You have to wear a hat inside an Arctic cat to try to win.
Right. All people have to do is go down to MLS Power Sports in Georgetown, put on a free hat, get an Arctic cat, get a picture of it, and tag ESPN Radio LEX on Facebook to enter. Then in 6 weeks, ESPN Sports Huddle comes back to pick the winner of the free Arctic cat.
Cool.
For more information, check out our Facebook page.
Or our website, MLSPowerSports.com.
Ride rough.
Ride tough.
But most of all, ride victoriously. I still think we need a kitten.
Hello, I'm Larry Jones, Community Trust Bank Central Region President. Community Trust Bank has been recognized as the top community bank SBA lender in Kentucky for 7 consecutive years. We are here to help business people in Central Kentucky grow their business with the right loan to fit their specific needs. Stop by and see us at any of our 6 convenient locations here in Lexington. We look forward to working with you.
Community Trust Bank, building communities built on trust. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, subject to credit approval.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
ESPN Sports Radio 13. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Well, with only one game left in the basketball season, the national championship, yes, which Kentucky has nothing to do with, and 2 weeks left of spring football practice, a lot of the attention goes to football, which is fine with me. And John Hale of the Louisville Courier-Journal is the chief correspondent on football, if you will. And he joins us now on the show. Good morning, John. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys, for having me, as always.
So, John, I kind of want to start out talking a little bit about your latest story, and it's about the special teams. Now, can you explain to me how this new competition sort of worked and where it came from? It seems like it's a fun thing, and also maybe if you don't make the cut, you're not super happy about it, but kind of talk about what's going on with special teams.
Yeah, so, of course, they promoted Andy Boo to special teams coordinator in the offseason, and honestly, that was a move that a lot of us thought was not super significant because he was basically the coordinator, you know, without the title last year. They did split up some of the duties among the whole staff, but he was the guy who had the most responsibility in that department. But talking to him the other day, he said it's actually changed quite a bit for him. His day-to-day responsibilities are different. He's talking to the team a lot more, whatever. And I guess with this new power, he decided to implement this new competition, which was invented by a guy named John Baxter, who is Southern Cal's special teams coordinator now. He was at Michigan last year, has been a special teams coordinator for a long time in college football. Andy calls him the best special teams coordinator in the country. So throughout their connections together, he had come up with this competition. Basically, the idea is they split the whole roster, minus specialists and quarterbacks, into 4 teams. He appointed 4 captains this year. In future years, if they do this again, which they plan to, the team will elect the 4 special teams captains. But this year it was Charles Walker, Darius West, Courtney Love, and Blake McLean. So he picked the 4 captains. Then they had like a big draft. He said it was like the NFL draft in there. You got up, you know, with the first pick, Charles Walker selects whoever. So they divided the whole team out that way. And then each day in practice, they had these games that are designed to kind of promote what you have to do on special teams, whether it's returning or blocking or recovering or whatever. And the teams go head to head. And there's everything score. It's black and white, who wins, who loses, what your individual score is for each game. And then after, I think, twice in the spring, the first day was Saturday, they have cut day, where each team protects 3 players on the roster, so each captain has to pick 3 guys to franchise, and so the teams below them in the standings can't claim those guys and trade them for somebody on their roster, and then each captain has to cut somebody who's, you know, for whatever reason is the worst player, performance-wise, whatever. You know, I stand up in front of the room and say, I cut you know, Joe, whatever, and tell why and all this stuff. So the idea, I guess, is that to avoid the embarrassment of getting cut and to, you know, kind of build on that natural competition amongst each other, they're hoping to get the best out of these guys for special teams, and it seems like it's working so far. We talked to Charles Walker yesterday, and he obviously wouldn't tell us who he cut or who he franchised or anything like that. They're gonna keep that in-house. But he said, you know, it was something he was kind of hesitant about at first. He was worried. I mean, he likes to be nice to people and be friendly to everybody. So he wasn't a huge fan of the idea of getting up in front of the team and cutting a teammate. But he said it wasn't that bad. I mean, people kind of knew what was coming because you could see your scores throughout the week. And he had kind of pulled his guy to the side early and said, you know, this is coming just so you're prepared for it. And those guys will be eligible again to play special teams in the fall, but they're cut for the rest of the spring. They won't do any of the drills or any of the competitions or any of those things. And then as they watch the film and judge the scores, then they'll start to build the depth charts, not just at returner and the kind of glamorous special teams positions we see, but at gunner and the guy who blocks third from the outside or whatever. So that's how they're going to do it this spring. It's clearly an area of the game that they were not great at last. Also, I think the hope is it'll improve on the spring, or it'll get better players on special teams. It'll get more guys excited about playing special teams. And then hopefully the fundamentals they learn in these drills will improve their overall performance too.
Did you get any idea about what kind of competitions they're doing? I mean, is it just coverage and normal special teams? Are they doing, you know, drills, individual drills, or what's the competition like there that, where they determine scores and stuff?
It's still a little vague. My understanding is that it's basically normal competition stuff. We saw a little bit last week when they opened practice up where there were guys, you'd have a guy who was like a gunner, and a guy who was, you know, supposed to defend the gunner on the punt return or whatever, going head-to-head on the outside. Eddie Graham was actually working with those guys. So I think that's part of it. I don't know if that was the part they were actually scoring. But it's breaking down the things that you would do in a normal special teams play in the individual competition. So I think that's how it works. We haven't gotten a clear look at what was going on yet. And I don't think everyone was necessarily prepared for Andy to drop this revelation on Thursday. And yeah, by yesterday, they were a little more prepared to talk about it. And Mark was pretty excited about it, those kind of things. But it seems like it's working. Of course, nobody, it only matters what they do on the field in the fall and whether they look better in special teams. But for now, it's something that's kind of fun this spring, and I think the guys are really excited about it.
Well, gosh, let's hope they don't look worse. So there's two guys, John, that I feel like I can point to as some, maybe the two biggest guys, at least around here, that Stoops brought in that really probably need to have big years. And that's Ryan Timmons and Matt Elam. And both of them to this point, you could probably say have been a little disappointing for, you know, the hype that they came in with.
Yep.
Where do you see those two guys headed?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Matt is such a hard thing to evaluate. I think it's even hard for coaches. Mark admitted this yesterday when somebody asked about him and said, you know, it's hard to tell with nose guard until you go back and watch the film and those kind of things. You don't get a real clear, immediate indication on the field because so much of his position is just taking up space in the middle and occupying blockers so other guys can get through the line. So I think, to be fair to Matt, while I completely agree that he has not necessarily lived up to the hype of being a five-star kid by one service and those kind of things, yeah, I do think there were moments last year where he was doing what they wanted him to, and maybe media like us and fans and whoever weren't seeing those things. So maybe he was a little bit better than we thought. Okay. But he still has a whole lot of work to do. Clearly, he still needs to lose some weight. He needs to take a bigger role because now, for the second half of last season, he was the guy with Melvin Lewis hurt, but now Melvin's not here at all. So he's pretty much the only guy at that position who has played any football. So he's going to have to be a really important player for them this fall. Mark was kind of hesitant yesterday to say much about where his progress is right now, but I think if he loses some more weight, he builds on this spring, I think he could be a pretty good player for them. As a junior, a guy who's played 2 years, this is the year he really needs to step up. For Timmons, I actually wrote a little bit about this in the practice report yesterday. It seems like forever ago that he actually, you know, led them in receiving as a sophomore. And clearly that was the season where, even though he had the numbers, there were huge moments that year where he dropped a pass at Florida that ended up getting picked off. And
yeah,
it happened a couple more times throughout the season where just in big, big moments where they could have won a game and sent him to a bowl, he just made a critical mistake or dropped a pass or did whatever. And then last year he was just not very good. I mean, there's really no way around it. For the guy that was one of the two players that Mark Stoops and DJ Elliott recruited the very first day they were you know, allowed to recruit players when they got the job. He needs to have had a bigger impact. And the good news is yesterday, Mark said he was, if not the biggest, you know, pleasant surprise in camp, one of them right now. We've heard Eddie Grant talk a few times about they're moving him around to different receiver spots on both sides of the field to add some pressure to other guys and get him more involved. So they want to get their best players on the field. And apparently he has responded. They said yesterday in the scrimmage, he was one of the best players. Drew Barker talked about how he was really good yesterday. And the key so far is he's been making routine plays look routine, which is obviously something he has not done in the past on a consistent basis. So if he can do that, he's still one of their most talented players. So if they can get the ball in his hands consistently, it's a huge weapon for Eddie Grant and Darren Henshaw to play with in this offense, especially when the receiving core last year, eventually by the end of the year, had been kind of whittled down to three guys. It was Dorian Baker, Garrett Johnson, and Jeff Bidette. That's pretty much the only three guys they threw it to. So if they can get Timmons, if they can get Blake Bone, if they can get, you know, a couple of the redshirt guys to be, you know, productive members of that receiving core, it's going to help everybody, especially Drew Barker, assuming he wins the quarterback job.
Talking with John Hale of the Louisville Courier-Journal here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. And Barker said Timmons kind of looked like he did in high school yesterday, where he would take something, make something out of nothing. And with Timmons being the pleasant surprise, and Stoops saying that, I wonder about the other guys like Garrett Johnson. Aren't they? They seem like they're putting Timmons into that spot. And then I heard Grant kind of explain it as versatility for Timmons and being able to mix and match and put people in different spots. But, you know, I haven't heard much about Garrett Juice Johnson, which I think everyone felt like last year he was the one guy you could count on more than any other guy in the receiving corps.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. It's hard to tell with those receivers whether some of those guys they don't talk about just because they're doing what you expect, and there may be some of that with Garrett where he just, you know, goes out and goes about his business and does what they want him to, and maybe he doesn't get as much praise as some other guys. But overall, I think there's so much focus on that position for what it went wrong last year that just as reporters, we naturally ask about those guys more. I mean, Dorian Baker's been asked about a bunch this year because clearly he's a guy with a ton of talent. Made a bunch of mistakes last season. Timmons gets asked about a lot for the same reasons and because he's a local guy and there's that extra connection there.
Yeah.
So maybe we haven't asked about Garrett as much as we should have. But I do think overall they're still looking for much more consistency from that position. I think we've heard Lamar Thomas talk a few times that the guys really like him. I think he relates to those guys. Watching the open practice last week, he was very energetic, very loud and boisterous and those kind of things, and getting some nice responses from those players. But Eddie Grant is holding these guys to a very high standard, and I just don't think he's the type of coach who's going to hand out praise willy-nilly until he thinks it's deserved. And a couple, you know, various things he said throughout the spring and even Stoops, I think they're still looking for more from that position. They know those guys have talent and they need to play like it if they're going to get to a bowl this season. So I think yesterday Mark said he has seen more competitive plays from the receivers. He has seen guys step up and make those plays in one-on-one situations, especially last week in the scrimmage, that maybe they didn't do a whole lot last season. So that's a positive sign. I think overall as a group, whether it's Garrett or Dorian or Timmons or whoever, they're still looking for more from that position as a whole.
I think John was saying in a nice way, is Dan, if you want to know the answer to that question, get your butt out there and ask it yourself.
No,
I'm joking. I'm joking.
He should be a guy on my list. I mean, we talked to him, I think, the first or second day of spring, and then he has just not come up since then.
Somebody else I would like to know about that I haven't heard anything about. This is me telling John to make sure, you know, put this on your list, John.
I need all the help I can get. We only have like 10 guys we can talk to this spring because of class in the morning. So I'm running low on ideas. So
well, I haven't heard anything about Drake Jackson. I mean, I've heard about Landon Young because he spent spring break over there. And then we've heard a little bit about Cash Daniel. But, you know, talking to Drake before he got there on campus, he felt he could redshirt, but maybe not, that there was a chance for him to maybe get in there and sub at guard. He doesn't have to play just center because the thought is John Toth is the center and he's not going to play in place of John Toth, but he said he could still find his way onto the field. But maybe I've missed it, but I just haven't heard anything about Drake Jackson.
Yeah, no, I have talked to John Schlarman a couple times where he's come up. I haven't written anything about it, so you didn't miss it. But my read on Drake, especially watching the open practice last week, is he's running second team right now with at guard. They put Bunchy Stallings back as the backup center kind of full time at the moment. So I mean, I'm assuming he's practicing some at center because that's the position they recruited him for. But right now it looks like he's playing mostly guard because I would assume that's the spot that they think they have a better chance to get on the field. But I think inside on the offensive line right now at the guard and center positions, they're pretty good situation. They've got two guys coming back at the guard spots, Nick Haynes and Ramsey Myers, who have started a ton of games. Myers has started every game the last 2 years. Clearly, John Toth's going to start every game at center and play almost every snap this fall, probably. If you have a guy like Bunchy Stallings, who was a pretty, well-regarded recruit, has not played really at all since he got here, but was a decent recruit coming out of high school, a guy that some people were really excited about, has apparently cut some weight. He could be a acceptable backup to Toth. Zach Myers, a center or a senior who has played a little bit, can play that position too. And then they've moved George Asafo Ajay back to guard. He's a guy who clearly everybody's really excited about, maybe their most physically gifted offensive lineman. So if he can figure out that position, that adds some depth there. Ogan Stenberg is a guy who's coming off a red shirt this year who's playing second team at guard right now. So I think they have enough numbers there where if I'm a coach at least, I'd do everything possible to redshirt Drake this fall.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't see enough snaps on the field to where it makes a whole lot of sense to play him. And you never know in the recruiting process who these guys, whether they tell it to us or not, have promised that they can play right away just as part of the, pitch to get them here. But he's a guy who I think it would make a lot of sense, just as every offensive lineman, to get him in the weight room for a year, get him learning the playbook. When you have John Toth, you don't need him right away. So that's where I would go at least.
Real quick, John, you didn't mention Tate Leavitt, so no real changes there?
Yeah, no. I mean, yesterday I asked Eddie about the first scrimmage. It was a problem when they were protecting the passer in clear passing situations, which was a huge issue all last year. And he said it's especially a slow problem for the second team tackles, and that's Tate Leavitt right now at left tackle. I heard from somebody who watched the scrimmage yesterday that Cole Mosier is actually looking really good as the first string left tackle right now, and clearly Landon Young's coming in the fall. So I think Tate is just going through those learning curves you would expect from a junior college guy. He has not made the immediate impact that maybe people hope for. He's good news is he got a spring and a summer to get acclimated to SEC football, and maybe by the fall he gets in that spot people hope for. But right now I think he's just second string and going through some learning pains, and it's just something he's going to have to work through.
One more thing. I mean, we really do need to take a break, but we're not going to just yet. There's one more thing I wanted to get your thoughts on is – I can remember last year when Shannon Dawson came in, and there were a lot of things he said that I thought made sense and made an impression on me early, and then by the end of the season, obviously, it was a little different.
Yep.
Well, I have to say I feel the same way right now about Eddie Grant and Darren Henshaw. The things that I hear them say are impressive and make a lot of sense. Do you feel that same way? Are people that get to talk to them on a regular basis get that same kind of feeling?
Absolutely. And I think you made a great point there that gets lost sometimes among fans, especially in what the opinion of Shannon Dawson was last spring versus what it was in the season. I remember, in my old job working for the Catspaws on our message board before the season started, you would have thought Shannon Dawson walked on water. I mean, that guy could do no wrong. And it's really easy to be really popular as an offensive coordinator when you haven't called a play yet.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
when you haven't called a play that doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely a caveat you have to add. That being said, though, I have been super impressed by these new offensive coaches, especially Eddie Grant and Darren Henshaw this spring. I mean, the one major difference, which I think is really important for this team, is the disciplinary approach that they're throwing out there. Eddie is making no bones about the fact that doesn't matter if you're the star, if you're Boone Williams, if you're Dorian Baker, whoever, if you don't give him the effort he wants and you don't play like he needs to, if you're not doing everything right on and off the field, he's just not going to play. He's going to play somebody else. So I think that's really important for some of the guys they have on this team who maybe haven't been as consistent as they should be in the past. And so far the players say they're responding to it. We'll see how it affects in the fall, but a couple guys have said it was a really hard adjustment when they first came in. They kind of took a step back and said, wow, what are these guys doing? But as they've gotten spring practice, they said they needed this approach. So I think that's the one real positive that you kind of hang to with these guys. And, I mean, clearly they have success. Shannon had success before, too, so who knows. But I think this is an offense that's a little better suited for what the personnel is and what Mark Stoops wants to do as a head coach, too. So there's nothing so far that would discourage me about these new guys.
John, as always, great
that
stuff.
Was awesome. Thank you so much.
And once again, thanks for coming on and making time for us on a Sunday morning.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, John. John Hale from the Louisville Courier Journal. We now need to get to a break.
Yes, or Josh will lose his head. He's got that crazy Mountain Dew look in his eye. We'll be back with more on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Student loans and treehouse homes, we
all would take the ladder. The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Why did we call our new checking account the Republic Bank Easy Checking Account? That's an easy one. You never have to keep a minimum balance or pay a monthly fee. You also get free bill pay and free mobile and online banking. We told you this was easy. Get the Republic Easy Checking Account today. Visit republicbank.com or your nearest Republic Banking Center. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
Recently, a new client called me and started by saying, "I really need your help, but I'm just a nobody." Those words stunned me, and I immediately called him back, and we're now helping him and his family after a terrible accident. Everybody who comes to our firm at their time of need is a somebody. I grew up poor, but my grandmother was like a queen to us. At Morgan & Morgan, our goal is to level the playing field for you and your family at your time of need. The insurance company has unlimited money and resources. You need a firm who can fight them toe-to-toe. For right at 30 years, we have fought them in courtrooms throughout America. Our results speak for themselves. And always remember this, everybody is a somebody, and nobody is a nobody. Visit forthepeople.com to learn about our firm. Morgan & Morgan, for the people.
Offices, Lexington.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman to save money.
We need a new stuntman.
You just need feedthepig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Are you or your husband John blues fans at all? Listen to the blues?
No.
None whatsoever.
I mean, I don't dislike it.
Right.
Like every time I hear it, it's like really good.
Yeah.
And you feel it. But
we
there was a place in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That we went
what
to.
What was that guy's name? Fat something.
Fat something.
He was fat.
He was no a big guy. But it was, I mean, to me, blues is like stuff that I would rather hear live.
Yes. Kent Spencer would know the name of that
guy.
Fat Mo or something. Like that.
I want to say there was something pirate related.
Yes. Seems that way as well. It was just this big guy. I mean, he was huge.
Yeah.
Just sitting up there on stage, wailing away on the guitar. Yeah, we're talking about our experience of New Orleans during, of course, the 2012 run, because we went there twice in a month for the SEC tournament and then the Final Four. And it's always so much
fun.
And
I want to go back. Now, I've heard that Allegiant is maybe getting a flight
from Lexington
to New Orleans.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Which would be so amazing.
Yes, it would.
Because that's one of those places where if you could do a three-day weekend trip, that's all you really need.
I've done that before. And I went in college.
So
we
fun.
Went for Halloween three-day weekend. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
And then I went like a year later after that, went for Mardi Gras. Great. I wouldn't go for Mardi Gras now.
No.
Too old.
But I think you can go. I think Bourbon Street is still. Like,
oh, yeah.
Still,
it doesn't matter what day. Yeah. You could go on a Wednesday at 3 o'clock.
Yeah. And the food.
The food is phenomenal. And I've been for Jazz Fest, too, which is awesome. Jazz Fest is two weekends. It's like a two-weekend thing, like Thursday through Sunday, back-to-back weekends. I went one and... oh, my gosh, Saul. Just some of the best. Some of the best. And the thing they do is Jazz Fest is a daytime deal. It's over by like 6 o'clock or something. So it goes like 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. or something. And then whoever's playing at Jazz Fest, some of those acts, have their own shows within New Orleans and other places. So it's pretty spectacular. But I would like to go when just nothing is going on. Just go down there, eat really good, see some stuff. The Aquarium of the Americas is awesome. So you're welcome, New Orleans Tourism Department. We'll be back with more on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Our military service members volunteer to protect us in the most dangerous places around the world. They step up. And when they are severely ill or injured, returning to their families is only the beginning of their long road home. Beyond all the hospitals and doctors and surgeries they need just to survive, they also deserve whatever they need to truly live. All the in-home care and day-to-day help they need to live independently, on their own terms. Wounded Warrior Project long-term support programs were established to provide these brave men and women whatever they need to continue their fight for independence at no cost for life. So many of them need us, and it's time for a grateful nation to step up. Find out how you can do your part at findwwp.org.
If you're a parent like me, I'm sure you have great concerns about what your kids are seeing on the internet. The answer is Circle, the device pit stop in Lexington, has a new breakthrough in cyber device technology. It's Circle with Disney. Circle is a device that connects to your home Wi-Fi. Circle filters content and helps manage time limits. You can customize a dashboard based on age, interest, age-appropriate content, and so much more. Circle is so amazing, it allows you to manage every device in your home with an app on your smartphone. Circle enables you to create balance by seeing your family members' browsing habits by platform, category, and website. Circle and its partnership provides content with Disney Entertainment that parents trust and children love. And best of all, Circle is tamper-proof. Circle, created by families for families. You can see Circle at Device Pit Stop.
Learn more about Circle and all of its features and even give it a test drive at Device Pit Stop. We are located in the Zandell Shopping Center at 2220 Nicholasville Road.
You gotta go to the pit stop for sure!
Health, recreation, transportation, safety, whatever your reason is for riding, ride with the Bluegrass Cycling Club. With 1,000 members, you'll never have to ride alone and you'll be able to experience the beauty of Central Kentucky while improving your health. Whether you're an experienced rider, just beginning, or even considering, the Bluegrass Cycling Club has rides and instructional classes to fit every need. For more information, go to bgcycling.net today. Registration for the Horsey 100 is now open. Register early and save. bgcycling.net.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
ESPN, Sports Radio 1300, WLHG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
I'm Christine Lisi. Here's what you need to know. A high-level source told ESPN's Adam Schefter the primary obstacle to the completion of a trade that would send quarterback Colin Kaepernick from San Francisco to Denver is his $11.9 million guaranteed salary this season. But the Broncos and Kaepernick want the Niners to pay the remaining $4.9 million, and at this point, they're not willing to do that. It'll be North Carolina and Villanova playing in the national championship game tomorrow night in Houston. Tar Heels beat Syracuse 83-66 in the Final Four and are in the title game for a 10th time. Nova defeated Oklahoma by 44 points, 95-51. Wildcats shot over 71%, held Buddy Hield 5 of 20 shooting and just 9 points. Tonight it is the women's Final Four. Connecticut versus Oregon State at 6 Eastern on ESPN. Then at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN2, Washington plays Syracuse. NBA, Spurs defeated the Raptors 102-95, franchise record 64th victory, and improved to 39-0 at home this season. Trailblazers 110, Heat 93. Miami dropped to 6th in the East, but still clinched a playoff spot with the Bulls 94-90 loss to the Pistons. Clippers forward Blake Griffin will likely start against the Wizards today in his return after missing more than 3 months with hand and quads injuries, as well as a 4-game team-imposed suspension for punching an L.A. assistant equipment manager. NHL Lightning star forward Steven Stamkos will undergo surgery tomorrow to treat a blood clot in his right arm. He'll be sidelined 1 to 3 months. Red Wings defeated the Maple Leafs 3-2, moved into third in the Atlantic, and pushed the Bruins out of the playoff picture for now.
The baseball season gets started with a World Series rematch as the defending champion Kansas City Royals host Matt Harvey and the New York Mets today at 7 Eastern on ESPN and on ESPN Radio.
Uncle Matteo's is a place where you build the pizza without getting your hands dirty. You talk directly to the pizza maker. Tell them exactly what you want. A little more of this, a little less of that. And can I add that too? Until it's exactly how you want. Uncle Matteo's is the place with almost limitless options. First, you choose whether you want a handmade pizza, gourmet salad, or a delicious foldwich. Our pizza has 3 different dough options, 6 different sauce options, and over 45 different cheese, meat, and veggie toppings. We make our own dough every day. Marinate and grill our chicken and steak in-house every morning. Real fresh, real fast. Online ordering and catering available. On Euclid next to Kroger.
When tragedy strikes Kentucky law enforcement officers and their families, you can help by displaying a law enforcement memorial license plate on your car or donating online. Log on to the memorial website at klemf.org today. Proceeds go directly to the families of officers killed in the line of duty and provide college scholarships for their children. Sponsored by the Kentucky Law Enforcement Memorial Foundation and aired in cooperation with the Kentucky Broadcasters Association and this station. Visit and donate at klemf.org today.
Brothers Auto Sales is Central Kentucky's number one dealer of pre-owned vehicles. At Brothers Auto Sales, you'll find the most complete selection of quality pre-owned cars and trucks available today. Every vehicle comes with a Carfax report documenting every aspect of the vehicle's history. Plus, we have an A-plus rating from the BBB. Brothers Auto Sales is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. for sales. Their top-notch service department is there Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5. Brothers Auto Sales, 285 East New Circle at the corner of Bryan Station Road or on the web at brothersautosales.com. No gimmicks, no games, no high pressure. Just the best prices on quality pre-owned vehicles in Central Kentucky, period. Brothers Auto Sales.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
If I could hire one firm in America to represent my family or friends for injuries, a medical mistake, or for a claim against an insurance company, I would hire us, hands down. No firm in America has tried more personal injury cases in the last 5 years than us. I challenge you to find one. You won't. Insurance companies know who we are and, more importantly, what our results are. The tobacco companies have battled us in the courtroom, and we have verdicts to prove it of $90 million, $40 million, and $18 million for our clients. Black farmers receive $1.2 billion for compensation for years of discrimination against them as a result of our efforts. BP Oil knows who we are as we represent thousands of business owners. Years of verdicts at trial and the desire and the money to fight for justice for our clients is why I would hire us. No brag, just fact. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Joe Perino.
381-1313 if you want to get in here and you can talk about, there's a couple things. One of them was the Mark Story article that came out this week, which, you know, he talked to us or talked to me and, you know, we got our name in the paper there. Didn't know if you saw that, but.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Kentucky.com.
I just read his, well, I guess it would be posted today about the Colonel photographer who was killed and his covering the national championship for Kentucky.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
I missed that article. I hadn't seen it. It's what came out.
Yeah.
He posted it this morning.
And it was really good.
I'll check that out, but he had an article on which is more heartbreaking loss.
Oh, yeah.
The Christian Laettner shot in 92 or Wisconsin last year. And so he asked local radio, and so he asked Dick Gabriel and asked Larry Glover and asked me. And
so since I've already admitted that I haven't read that, what did you say?
All three of us, Larry and Dick and myself, all went with the Laettner, and Mark Story was with the Wisconsin. Now, I see both sides. I mean, you can make a case either way. One of the biggest point would be that if Kentucky beats Duke in 92, does it win the next game or the next game? Because you had to win in the Final Four and then win the national championship. That team, Farmer and Woods and Pelfrey and Feldhaus, maybe doesn't win You know, shouldn't have won the Duke game, but was going to. So does it win two more games? The UK team that lost to Wisconsin had the lead with, what, 4 minutes to go? And had three straight shot clock violations. 38-0. Maybe wins the whole thing. You got to like their chances better than you do the 92 team.
Well, and I also think there's not one shot. Like, CBS is not going to replay the shot clock going off for the third time in with one of the Harrison twins still holding onto the ball. Or over and over and over and over again for years to come. Like, it's not even part of their package now.
Yeah.
It's not even there's nothing that shows that team at all anymore. But Christian Leitner's shot lives on in infamy forever.
Or the Nigel Hayes shot with the shot clock at zero that they still counted.
Exactly. But I mean, there's not, that's not a memory that's going to be beaten into your skull. I mean, you might remember it all, the Wisconsin game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's still, I know people, plenty of people that are still not over that loss.
Right.
That this whole season was a blur to them and didn't even really matter because they still weren't over the Wisconsin loss. But it's not getting thrown in your face all the time. They are not going to make a 30 for 30 on why you hate Sam Decker. Like, it's just, so I understand where the Leitner thing, there's just too much history there. There's too much it being thrown back in your face for 20 something years.
Mm-hmm. But this team will always be remembered like people will talk about the Eddie Sutton team that should have won it all, mm-hmm. you know, that was just so talented. And this will be one of those teams that'll be, you were 38-0.
Yeah, no.
You had seven guys.
You're talking yourself into going the other way now.
Well,
you're talking yourself out of Leitner.
No. I could almost do that, but I can't. I could see the other side. I could almost talk myself into going with Wisconsin because if you go 40-0, what does that do? It cements yourself as in the conversation for greatest basketball team of all time.
Of all time.
It shuts Indiana up about their undefeated season. And Bob Knight, who has come out, you know, publicly criticizing Calipari and one and done and all this stuff. It just does a lot for...
I mean, it solidifies Kentucky's dominance as, like, being the dominant team of the... Of college basketball since day one, the day Cal took over. They are the team.
Of the decade, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning 2010 and all the Final Fours. I mean, if Kentucky could get another championship before 2020, you know, that would be two in the decade... Does Duke have two in the decade or just one?
I can't remember. It might be an 09.
But you got four Final Fours and a national championship. So you got 17, 18, 19. And you could throw 20 in there, even though there'd be the 11th year. You might be able to throw it in there. So you got three or four more years to get to add to the Final Fours and to add to a national championship. Kentucky does that. The argument could be made that they were the team of the decade for the 90s and the 2010s. All right, we got Joe on the line. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, folks. Listen, when you start talking about jazz, you come to me. I listen to Grover Washington Jr., Bob James, Ramsey Lewis, the Brecker Brothers, Les McCann. I am a jazz aficionado. I drive my family nuts when these kids, they was wanting to listen to 80s music, and I had them listen to jazz. You know? They're going nuts. You know, oh, can we watch MTV? No, the stereo is going too loud. Listen to jazz. Learn to dance. You know?
I dig jazz myself. I tried to get my kids on jazz. Now, I have a little bit more like Charles Mingus and Miles Davis, Charlie Parker, Coltrane. My favorites though are Miles Davis and Charles Mingus.
I went a little bit more of the progressive triple Z jazz stuff like that. You know, it's a little bit more hardcore than just, you know, three guys getting up there playing, you know. But that's just, everybody has their differences. I used to, WBKY used to be one. I think I used to call it WKY. We actually had a jazz station at one time.
Yeah.
They quit playing jazz, you know. But you keep trying to find it. And sorry to get off on jazz this morning, but I went to wrestling matches last night. Couldn't believe it. Soupy Sales was there.
In Cynthiana? Yeah. Did you go in Cynthiana?
Soupy Sales?
No, I went to Clarksville.
Oh,
Clarksville, Indiana. Well, that's where they still wrestle hardcore up there. So, you know, Ian Rotten's bunch. So.
WrestleMania, I think, is tonight.
Oh, WrestleMania. That's for your kids, not for adults. Come on.
Soupy Sales?
You got to watch Ring of Honor or New Japan Pro Wrestling, something like that. That's adult wrestling.
I don't mean this in a bad way, but I would have guessed Soupy Sales died about 10 years ago.
They brought him out in the coffin. Gosh, don't you people get it? I've got to say something stupid once a week. Hey, I got to go. I got some T-bones and porterhouses I got to get cooked.
Nice. Oh, do it upright.
There's someday we got to show up at his house after a Sunday.
Yeah.
The way he cooks and grills out.
We got to find out if it's true.
Yeah, we got to call it, call his bluff. Yeah. Because porterhouses.
And T-bones,
if it's a 50-50 shot, I'm getting one. I'll probably show up there.
Yeah. I can still do something else in Paris if it doesn't work out. I tried to get my kids going on jazz, and it just, one of them went, Daddy, when are they going to sing?
Yeah.
Why aren't they singing? Like, all right, I'm sorry. So, but I still wanted to get them good music, like, not just the bubblegum pop that they prefer, but, you know, get them some stuff. So James Brown has some jazz in it, obviously.
Yeah.
Some funk. So they dig James Brown. I got them hooked on that early. But he prefers.
Sings.
Yes, and he sings. But they prefer the bubblegum. So, which Josh does. Yeah, Josh gives the thumbs up there. He prefers.
So Duke won it in 2010 and 2015.
Okay, so they've got, yeah. They've got two. So Kentucky, if it wants
another
to be.
Yeah.
Which this could be the year coming up.
say, at least it's fun. I mean,
yeah.
Every year you've given yourself a chance. And that's why I just am so irritated with people who hate this, who hate the one and done things. Cal has said it a million times. He doesn't like it either, but it is what it is. Like, you. Kentucky's in the conversation. They give themselves a chance every year. Every year.
And we can talk about that more. 381-1313 is the number to call, and we'll do it next on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Russillo and Cannell.
And the cream of the crop. The Syracuse fans. Yeah. You're 19-13. You're 10th in the ACC. You lost 5 of 6. Your coach is like, I don't know. And then they make this run. A run none of us could have seen. And then you get Syracuse fans going, still not a tournament team? You're like, what is debate? It's like having awful credit and bragging about paying your car loan.
Russillo and Cannell, 1-4 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I'm a firefighter.
A teacher.
I'm a farmer.
I'm a barber.
A waitress. A mom.
We're all part of your community. Every day we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good.
Others not so much.
But that's life. It's when you experience a moment of uncertainty. Something or someone's behavior that doesn't seem quite right.
These are the moments to take a pause.
Because if something doesn't feel right, it's probably not.
It's not about paranoia.
Or being afraid.
It's about standing up and protecting our communities.
One detail at a time.
Because a lot of little details can become a pattern.
We
trust our instincts.
Just like you should.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever. The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Did you see that Brad Calipari has been invited to play in the Kentucky Derby Festival Basketball Classic?
No, but that's awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, for years that was Louisville and Kentucky recruits play in that game. But because the All-Star games became so many, you have the McDonald's All-American game.
Jordan Brand Classic.
The Nike Hoop Summit. Yes. Those are the three big ones. And one of the guys is at Bam Adebayo, one of UK's recruits, and I can't remember which one, is skipping one of those and just saying that would rather finish school upright and, I don't know, for whatever reason, is just, basically, it's too much.
Yeah.
I'm not going to all of them.
It is a lot.
And that one, the Nike Hoop Summit, is like up in Portland or something, right?
Yeah.
So that's a different deal for somebody from Texas or from North Carolina, South Carolina. You know, that's quite a, well, like an 18-hour flight or something, or close to that. So I can understand that. And that's why the Kentucky Derby Festival doesn't get those players anymore, because they're not going to play in all three of those and in the Kentucky Derby Festival Basketball Classic. But that still does draw some good players.
Mm-hmm.
And for a walk-on, to get in there. Of course, now, Brad Calipari with that name would also be somewhat of a draw for tickets, too, if you just want to see Brad play, just see what his game's like. Now, when he was here at LCA, he was okay. He wasn't a star or anything, but then
he looks like he's got his transformed his body.
He has, yeah, for sure. He definitely has.
In prep school.
Yeah. And he's, he was the MVP of some tournament up there where he scored 17 or something. And apparently he's a pretty good 3-point shooter. And so.
Yeah, he's not going to set the world on fire, but I think going to prep school, he did himself a service as far as his basketball acumen.
Yeah. Being able to be capable of, worthy of a walk-on role at a place like Kentucky.
Yeah. Regardless of last name.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't just like basketball, you know, and be the coach's son and get on the team. You got to at least be able to contribute something. And I think he can, and that's why he's going to walk on and play in this Kentucky Derby Festival Basketball Classic. But his dad, you know, because we had someone call last weekend saying, have you noticed something about all these teams in the Final Four? They got seniors on them.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and I think once we kind of went there with, well, it's not going to change, so get used to it. He was done. Like, all right, I've heard enough. But honestly, I don't like the one and done at all. I just don't like it. I haven't liked it from the beginning because it changes college basketball so much where you don't get to know that player as well over the years, and you don't get to know all of the players throughout all of college basketball. Like when I was a kid, I remember, you know, idolizing some of these guys who were juniors and seniors, guys that have been around, like a Stacey Augman or a Larry Johnson or Shaq played. Didn't he play 3 years at least?
But until this tournament and this year, like I'd love to have that guy back on and say, did you know Buddy Hield before this year?
True. Right. But you
did
wouldn't.
Did you know Ryan Arcidiacono until this tournament?
Yeah.
And I just said his name right, and I'm so pumped. But, yeah, I mean, just because they're a senior and a good senior just still doesn't necessarily mean that you have followed their whole career and know them. And, you know, I mean, Buddy Hield, right, took till he was a senior. And there's some guys out there like that. What I think is unfortunate in his case is that I think he's definitely going to be able to score in the NBA. But mm-hmm. because he's 22 and not 18 or 19,
yeah,
he won't get the love from the NBA scouts or on draft night that he probably has earned.
Yeah, he might be.
Because the NBA's in love with 19-year-olds.
Yeah, he might go behind Jamal Murray, really. But the familiarity of players, I do miss that. Like in Oklahoma would, Mookie Blaylock and Stacey King. I mean, those guys played several years. And the other thing, I think the point that the guy was making, was the chemistry, the team. You've got a longer time to be able to do it. And that's Calipari's point every year is, we got to make this happen quickly. This has to happen real soon. This is not normal. Like he says it himself, it's not normal. But I think Calipari has always been, going back to UMass, has always been, I need the best players I am able to get. Whatever I am capable of doing for getting players, I need to get the best ones I can get. Not, well, I've got this philosophy of putting it together. I need a couple role guys. No, I need the best players, and then I'll put them in whatever role they need to go in. And that's still his deal. It's just he's got the best place to get players that he's ever had. And so he gets the very, very best players now. And they just all, because of the way it is, are going to go to the NBA. That's their whole goal.
And 75% of the time, it ends him up in the Final Four. Meanwhile, yeah. Lon Kruger at Oklahoma finally gets a guy who's a senior.
Yeah.
That's really good. And he gets back to the Final Four for the first time in 22 years. So I'm not saying one way is better than the other. And I certainly, everyone, 100% of people can agree that having Anthony Davis for 3 years is better than having Anthony Davis for 1 year. Of course.
Yeah.
It's just the reality of the situation, the way it is now. But if you're waiting for there to be some breakout seniors who are amazing, you're going to go 8 to 10 years between trips to the Final Four and maybe longer waiting on that to happen.
Yeah.
Whereas if you'd go out and just get the best players now and kind of hope they get along, and Cal's been a master at that, at making sure that they can play together. And they do, and it gives you a shot every year.
Well, the contrast is put in your face if you're a Kentucky fan and want it the other way. If it just drives you crazy that it's like rent-a-player. Like Jamal Murray is here. He's phenomenal. We know he's gone. That's it. You know, or Karl-Anthony Towns or whatever. And they're beloved, but it's just such a short time with them. So if you like that, but you hate it that they don't get to stick around, the contrast is right up the road. Like Rick Pitino has the Peyton Siva or the Russ Smith or the...
And they won a championship too.
Right.
So it can work. Obviously, it can work both ways. But don't tell me he's not renting a player when you go
and get
two fifth-year seniors,
right,
to try and bolster poor recruiting on your part.
Right. He still mixes and matches, no doubt, but you are getting one and done. They're just, you know, happen to be seniors.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think, and you've heard Dick Vitale say this I don't know how many times, give me talent over experience, baby, every day. Give me the talent. I'll take the talent every day. I would too.
Yep.
Give me the best players you can get over guys that are pretty good, and we'll wait and see how it goes. And well, this was just their first year together. You know, give them next year. We'll see how it goes. You know, I would just rather, to me, it's more fun. I think overall, it's better for the local economy to be in the hunt every year, to have all these players. And it's just more fun to discuss, to talk about, to see what happens.
It makes every recruiting season so much more important and so much more talked about. And I don't know. I mean, would you rather end up in the Final Four as many times as Kentucky has, or get a team where you say, like, all right, let's watch. In 4 years from now,
yeah,
they're going to be a force.
You can't win the national championship if you don't get that far. You know, if you can get that far four times in the last 6 years, then you're at least, you like your chances.
Yeah.
You know? If you only made it once in the last 5 years and you won the championship, then would you just rather not be in there and then hope that you build for the time that you get another shot at the champ? No. Just, if you got those good players, you got a chance.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but at least you got a chance every year.
There's so much luck involved and, you know, in winning a tournament like this. Like, in my mind, I guess one of the flaws of the tournament, and then also one of the, you know, great things about the NCAA tournament is, like, a team like Syracuse shouldn't have the same chance to win the national championship as a team like North Carolina, based on what they've done all season long. Like, the Final Four in football, it's based, you get there based on what you've done all season long. But yet there they are. So it's part of the bummer of it. And then part of the great thing that Syracuse gets to the Final Four right alongside North Carolina, despite having, you know, a pretty mediocre regular season.
Yeah.
Now there could be, I don't know why I got off on that, but.
Well, Kentucky had a mediocre season.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the regular season goes.
For Kentucky standards.
And then
they were a four seed.
Yeah.
You know, that's a mediocre season here.
Right. You just, you know, the losses to.
What were they? An eight seed the year they went to the title game with Julius Randle. They were an eight seed. That's the definition of mediocrity.
Absolutely. This team just lacked inside presence, which is not going to be the case next year.
You got
Winyon Gabriel is 6'10", I believe. Sasha Clea Jones is 6'9". Bam Adebayo is 6'9", but he is like built like Dwight Howard. De'Aaron Fox
and Marquise Bolden, you never know if he ends up coming here.
And
that would be huge. And then, of course, you've got a bunch of guys sitting on the bench.
Isaac Humphreys and possibly Ty Winyard. You don't know what you're going to – you haven't seen him, so you just don't know. But he has size. He's big, and they say he's physical.
And in your mind, is Marcus Lee gone?
No, I think Marcus Lee is back probably. So that's – I think Marcus Lee's he's going to be a man off the bench. He's just going to have to come off the bench and provide –
what he does, what he provides off the bench, which is, you know, maybe a much better spot for him to be in.
Yeah, maybe he is that guy who comes off the bench. Maybe he's not the guy. Well, I don't think he is. He just doesn't seem to be the guy who can start and play, you know, 30 minutes and be what you want there. If he plays 20, I think he gives you a great 20 minutes probably. I think he's able to give you more than he gave you. I know it sounds odd, but I just think, you know, you don't lose as much if he's playing 20 minutes when you go to the bench. Briscoe, good grief. You know, I just think he's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the consensus is that, you know, Murray, who is already announced, and then Euless and Scal, just because of their draft projections. And some of those mock drafts are silly. Some of them are by people who talk to NBA personnel. I mean, that's kind of their whole deal. That's what they do. So they just talk to NBA personnel who, you know, don't give their names and say, but they're able to get an idea of what scouts are thinking. We had the one scout, bash Scal during the season. And Calipari came out in his defense on that. But as long as those mock drafts and these people are looking.
It only takes one team to take you.
As long as they're saying he is going to be a top 30 pick, a first rounder, then he's likely to go. So I think that's pretty much what we believe, which means you've got a Briscoe back and you've got a place for Derek Willis, as you were talking about yesterday. And you have Marcus Lee back. And you still have Dominique Hawkins on defense. someone who will be able to get out there. So I think it's a really good mix.
Mm-hmm.
And Briscoe's not going to be denied. Briscoe's going to be a star. The way he plays, everything he does, if he adds a shot, you know, hits that mid-range, can knock down a three, which you've got to think he's going to be able to do over the summer before next season. You got to think he's going to add that, because that's the knock on him. That's what he has to change to be able to go to the NBA, and mm-hmm. that's what he wants to do. Yeah. His whole goal was be going now, but it doesn't look like he's going to be – well, he just won't. He won't be a first-rounder if he can't make a mid-range or a three. He didn't show that he could.
No.
And the struggles at the free throw line. You can't be a guard and struggle that bad at the free throw line.
No.
So he clearly will be wanting to work on that and want to show it, which means, translation, star next year.
Yeah.
Isaiah Briscoe, star next year. All right, we're going to take a break because Josh is not stretching his arms. He's...
I know.
he's
like, I don't want to make Dan mad, but
hey,
it is what it is.
It's his job. He's taking it. he is not taking it lightly. He doesn't believe that I can read a clock or that I'm looking at one anywhere in the room. I have no idea what time it is. So he's just making sure. Dan, I'm not yawning. It's time to break.
381-1313 on the other side if you want to give us a call.
On the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Now I ain't saying she a gold digger.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Catch the Dan and Mary Jo Show Saturday and Sunday, brought to you by Republic Bank. It's just easier here.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
I worry that people who want us to stand up for them against bully insurance companies are afraid to ask for our help because they think they can't afford us. Let me put your mind at ease. Here's what no recovery, no fee means at our firm. First, your initial consultation is absolutely free. Next, we understand that most people don't have the money to pay hourly attorney's fees, and the insurance industry has unlimited monies. So you only pay us a percentage of your recovery when we win. Finally, there are expenses in working a case up, like accident reconstruction, investigators, court filing fees, and so on. We advance these costs as well. If we make no recovery, you don't owe these either. You need a firm with deep pockets to fight the insurance companies toe-to-toe. You will never owe us one penny unless we win. Visit forthepeople.com for more information. No charge there either. Morgan & Morgan, forthepeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
If you're a parent like me, I'm sure that you are looking for a way to balance device time and interpersonal time in your home. The answer is Circle. The Device Pit Stop in Lexington has a new breakthrough in cyber device technology. It's Circle with Disney. Circle is a device that connects to your home Wi-Fi. Circle enables you to help manage device time limits. You can pause devices for homework, dinner, and family time. Also with Circle, kids and devices can have a bedtime too, and those cause I said so moments will become an opportunity to create balance. Circle allows you to manage every device in your home with an app on your smartphone. Circle is friendly, helpful, and simple to use. And best of all, Circle is tamper-proof. Circle was developed by families for families. You can see Circle at Device Pit Stop.
Learn more about Circle and all of its features and even give it a test drive at Device Pit Stop. We are located in the Zandale Shopping Center at 2220 Nicholasville Road.
You gotta go to the pit stop for sure!
I'm Julie Bowen, and I'm here to tell you it's impossible to beat cancer. Alone. It takes researchers, doctors, donors. It takes community. It takes love and support and collaboration and persistence and resolve. It takes people like me and you. That's why Stand Up to Cancer and all our supporters are asking for your help. Let's beat cancer together. Join the movement now at standuptocancer.org.
ESPN Sports Radio. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
It was a million times.
Was it? It's a million or a thousand? It's a lot.
Oh, 1 trillion times. We're both wrong.
I didn't know someone could apologize a trillion times.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't have, I didn't say that.
Where'd Outkast go? Where did Andre 3000 go?
Andre is like an actor now. Andre's actually in that show American Crime that's on right now.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that show yet. Yeah, I heard it's good.
It's intense.
Really good, huh?
It is intense. I think the season is over, but he, yeah, he played the father of a basketball player, a high school basketball player, and he was really good in it. I mean, he's really
good. Missed out on the Jimi Hendrix movie. I guess they couldn't get the rights to anything, and so it was a horrible movie, is what Josh says. Which it would be. If you can't...
you can't use Jimi Hendrix music.
I think I would just cancel it. Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
Like, well, let's just push on. We'll play some stuff that kind of sounds like it. We'll just change the notes up a little bit. Could you imagine the Doors movie without the Doors music?
No. No.
Or the James Brown movie, or the... the Miles Davis movie that's coming up with Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I'm looking forward to that. Because Don Cheadle's
an awesome actor, too.
Yeah. He's a big fan. What was Hotel Rwanda was really good. He was really good in that movie. Traffic. He was in Traffic, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good, too. I watched the Entourage movie the other night.
I never even watched the TV show.
Oh, the TV show was great. And, I mean, I wanted to see the movie when it came out, but it just kind of went by, but... popped up on HBO, watched it. The series was great. And I remember people like criticizing the movie, being like, well, it was just a long episode. Well, good, because I liked the TV show. That's why I'm watching the movie. So do what you did in the TV show and the movie. That would make me happy. And they did. And then I started watching House of Cards. Have you finished that? Do you watch it?
So, watched the first two seasons, binged,
yeah.
And then got like two or three episodes into the third season and went, and stopped.
In
but I've heard the fourth season?
Season
is much better.
The third season gets going. It gets going. It may take a minute. I'm trying to remember the early part of it, but the second half of it gets going.
So we are way behind on that. Yeah.
So did we finish House of Cards yet? No. Did we? No, I can't. I think we're just a few away from finishing it.
We watched a movie called Shelter the other night, and I literally I don't stay awake. So when I want to argue about which movie we're going to watch, and John's always like, you're going to fall asleep 30 minutes into it, so.
It doesn't matter.
Why don't you let me pick?
Yeah.
But then so we picked this movie called Shelter, and I did stay awake for the whole thing. Now this is what you stay awake for?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just so horribly depressing.
Shelter?
Oh, my gosh.
What is that movie
so
about?
Depressing. Like two homeless people that fall in love, which sounds like it might be a good story, but one of them is...
But they're still homeless.
Well, one of them's a crack addict.
Ugh.
And the other one is... like a refugee who murdered a bunch of people.
Mm.
And then you find out their stories, and then things just go horribly wrong for them.
Eww.
Things go wrong. And it's not uplifting at all. It was terrible. I mean, I'm sure.
And that's what you stayed up for.
Right.
That's
and
what
he's like, you stayed awake for the whole thing. Good stuff.
Reminds me of Precious. You saw the movie Precious?
Yes.
Oh, that thing is
that's
so depressing.
Yeah.
Ugh. Started watching the Americans. That returned on FX for its fourth season. Did you watch any of that?
I haven't ever seen it, but I have heard that's good.
That's a good one too, yeah. And I've been, you know, keeping up with the OJ.
Yes.
Show.
I'm all in on that now.
For some reason, I don't know what it is about like the OJ show on FX, their time. Like they say the show is on from like 10:03 to 11:18 or some stupid crap. I don't know what it is. And so I set the DVR and I'm like, well, the DVR knows what the guide says. So it's going to record whatever crazy time it says. It's not like there's a live sporting event that's pushing this or something.
Yeah.
It's just going to do what it says to do. No. So twice now, it gets to the very end, like the last, I don't know, minute or 30 seconds of the actual episode, and pauses and goes, do you want to delete this episode? Like, what? Like it came up the last episode. They walk up to Marsha and the woman says, hey, this, the decision is in your case. Oh, what did Judge Ito say now? No, you're, did you like to delete this episode? So I had to find another showing and record the whole thing, and all I did was fast forward to the last 30 seconds to see what that was.
It's crazy. I will say, the casting of that show,
yeah,
with the exception of Cuba Gooding Jr.'s OJ, because he is god awful. I just can't believe that that's OJ. I hate him. But everyone else is so spot on. Courtney B. Vance as Johnny Cochran is spectacular.
It is.
And Sarah Paulson is Marsha Clark. Like,
and Chris Darden.
Chris Darden. It's like, I feel like Chris Darden is playing Chris Darden.
Yes, I know.
They're all of so them. Good. They've cast that Barry Sheck, the guy, it's the guy from Northern Exposure.
Yeah.
He's totally that guy. I mean, They've done an awesome job casting.
I mean, John Travolta, I've already been convinced now that he is Robert or Shapiro.
I know, they're so good. Except OJ. I just think Cuba is such a stupid
I still
OJ.
Can't buy Dave Schwimmer as Robert Kardashian.
He's such a crybaby. He's still Ross.
I know.
Like, he's just Ross in everything he plays.
Right. He's still whiny Ross. You talk about a cast, you just pigeonholed. He did. Yeah. I mean, that's it for him. And the same for, Cuba Gooding Jr. just, I don't know. It just doesn't sell for me with OJ either. I don't know why. It's not... He has some mannerisms that he's gotten down. I don't think that he's doing such a bad job necessarily. It's just it doesn't fit. It doesn't seem right. I don't know who else you would get.
But Johnny Cochran to me is...
Oh, he's on top of his game.
Like he's got to win an Emmy or something for that. He is great.
It's entertaining. Al is on the line, 381-1313 if you want to get on here. Al, good morning. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Good morning, Al.
Good morning, guys. How you doing, Dan and Mary Jo?
Doing good. Doing good.
All right.
I think Lou Alcindor, a.k.a. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a.k.a. Lou Alcindor, when he came to UCLA, he came in as a freshman, and freshman was not eligible to play collegiately because of that particular rule that they had back then.
Yeah, yeah.
But they said that he... And the other freshman beat the senior class, and that was the only class.
And that was the senior class that won the national championship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
While going undefeated. If Lou Alcindor had played as a freshman, if he was eligible, he would probably be an MOP in the NCAA tournament for 3 years in a row. But by virtue of him staying there, that led way for Bill Walton to come and play 2 or 3 years as a collegiate player, and I guess I'm telling in on the debate that you guys had about one and done players coming here. I think Dan sort of said it. You know, he didn't really like it versus seniors and veteran players sticking around and helping to win tournaments. And I think that you have to go back a little bit and revisit UCLA and how Lou Alcindor passed the baton on to Bill Walton. And by virtue of those guys sticking around, as Dan mentioned, you remembered guys that played through collegiate on the collegiate level for years on end. I go all the way back to Dan Nelson and Pete Maravich in the SEC and some of the other players nationally. You know, Austin Carr, who played with Notre Dame, comes to mind, and a whole bunch of other players that led their team into the NCAA tournament with veteran players and guys that, you know, stuck around. You know, you can't embrace the one and done because those guys are here, you embrace them, and then they're gone. Whereas if Coach Calipari ever have a situation like he did in 2012 where those guys, you can have a couple, three veteran players to come back, then he's going to be able to make a significant run in the NCAA tournament because not only do you have a great mix of young kids who's excited to be on the national stage, but you have a core of players coming back that's already been on the national stage. And with that mix, I think it'll be hard to, you know, be denied a national championship or run to the Final Four.
Yeah, I think John Calipari even himself will say, He said it before, his better teams have been the mix of some veterans and some young guys coming in. Like 2012, when it was Kidd Gilchrist and Anthony Davis and Marcus Teague, mixed with Terrence Jones and Deron Lamb, second-year players.
I mean, this year they only started two freshmen.
That's true. Briscoe and
Murray.
Yeah, that's true there.
I mean, I guess Scal started some games, but...
But, you know, Alex was not as good as Terrence Jones. Jamal Murray was kind of in Deron's role. They just didn't have a front court, I guess. But this mix, right. This mix will give them a little bit of veteran in both front court and back court with Marcus right. Lee, Isaac Humphries down inside, and then on the outside, Dominic Hawkins and Isaiah Briscoe. And Derek Willis at the four. So, I mean, I like what's coming back. I guess what you had coming back last year, you thought, though, would be, you know, better. But it was all, look, last year was all on Scal, really. They needed him to be a Nerlens Noel, not an Anthony Davis necessarily, but they needed him to be something like that, to be able to throw him the ball and score inside and have him block a lot of shots and be a physical presence in there, a rim protector. And he just wasn't what they needed him to be. And because right. of that, too much was asked of the supporting cast on the front line. Remember Calipari saying, now and then players. We got guys who are good every now and then, and now we need them to be all the time good players. And they're not used to that, so... it just affected it so much on that front court, and without that, it didn't work out. But I don't see it that way this year.
What about in 1978, going back to Joe Hall's national championship team, he had a team that was laden with seniors.
Yeah.
Given the Lee, Phillips, and Roby, and the transfer of Cal Macy, who came in and led that particular team to a national championship, and it was those senior led veterans that mm-hmm. went through and won a national championship.
Right.
Then you revisit 1998 with Coach Tubby Smith. He had a mixture of players that was juniors and seniors that had come together at the right time to go on and win that national championship as well. Not to mention the class that, you know, Coach Rick Pitino had in 1997 and could have won it in 96, where he did win it, should have won it in 97.
Right, right.
But you had veteran and senior leadership
right.
on the team. I'm not saying that argues against the one and done, but certainly it's a template to say that somewhere you've got to maybe change that strategy and encourage kids to come back, which is kind of hard to do in this day and age.
It's the NBA's role, and there's so much money. There's so much money out there, and you can cost yourself millions. There's countless examples of guys who have come back in both football and basketball, really, and have cost themselves millions of dollars. Like, yeah. We're not talking about money that you and I make, like millions of dollars, and you've got one shot in life to get that kind of money grab to play a sport that you played as a kid on the playground. Like, you've got to take the money. If it were my kid, 100 times out of 100, I say take the money.
Well, and I think it'll be fine. It's just going to be cyclical. It'll work itself out. Well, you'll yeah. have a Derek Willis who's a senior, or a Dominic Hawkins
yeah.
who's a senior,
mm-hmm.
and they'll help provide some of that leadership for the guys who will be here 1 year or 2 years. Like, you know, Tyler Ulis says what he learned from a sophomore, Andrew Harrison, was invaluable. So I think it'll just be, like I said, cyclical. It'll work itself out to where you'll have guys who are good enough to play college basketball at Kentucky, but not good enough to go right onto the NBA, that'll still be contributors and have that senior leadership. And some of them will have that in them, and some of them won't. Like, they all rave about Alex Poitras being a great teammate, but he didn't appear to be the type of leader that they were looking for. Al, we got to. If we don't go to a break, we're just going
to
run out of time. Thank you, Al. Thank you. Yeah, Josh is going crazy over here. He wants to show break, and then it's like the move in the movies when you're trying to put your arm around
yes.
the girlfriend, and you're like, how'd that wind up there? Yeah. Josh is over here stretching.
Cracking up.
Oh.
Yep.
and take a look, Dan, because I want to go to break. We'll be back with more on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this. ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Lucky's Auto Sports is Central Kentucky's largest window tinting facility. Defining ride since 1999. Want to cut down on glare while you're driving? Want to protect your interior? Want that stylish look of darker windows? Bring your car or truck to Lucky's Auto Sports for same-day service and let us tint your windows today. Our staff has over 40 years' experience and all the tools of the trade in auto tinting to ensure quality service. And all of our professional window tinting for your car, truck, RV, or SUV is backed by a lifetime warranty on bubbling, peeling, and fading. Lucky's Auto Sports only uses high-performance films, and all of our tint is computer cut. That means a machine cuts the tint before our technicians apply it to your vehicle's windows, so everything looks factory installed. Call us at 859-299-4411 or get a quote and download coupons at luckysautosports.com today. That's Lucky's Auto Sports, your source for window tinting, auto and truck accessories, car audio, remote start, and more.
Calling all military officials, firefighters, police officers, EMTs, and paramedics, both active and retired. Dixie Chopper is honoring our hometown heroes by offering a $250 mail-in rebate on any new Dixie Chopper lawnmower. All Dixie Choppers are proudly made in the USA. And we want to honor our hometown heroes across the nation. Visit Southern States in Georgetown, your locally owned farmer co-op since 1945, for the best selection of Dixie Chopper mowers, Southern States.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You can't turn down a Millie.
No.
Jamal Murray's about to get a Millie. I think Scal's going to get a Millie. It's just a wonder, where's Tyler Ulis? Is he going to get that Millie in the first round? We hope so, for his sake.
NBA Draft.net has him listed as the third pick in the second round, which means no guaranteed contract.
Yeah. Now, if he doesn't, I mean, if he doesn't hear that he's going to go in the first round, but I just, like, Chad Ford has him going 17, I think.
I just think regardless, like, he's not going to get better than he is. He's going to get better. He's going to improve over the course of time. But I just don't know that he's going to improve his draft stock by coming back.
Well,
because he's always going to be 5'9".
However, I think if he has another year like he just had and then leads Kentucky to the national championship, I don't think there'll be any question. So I disagree there. I've heard that argument before.
Okay.
And I did agree with it for a while. Like, right, how can he have a better year statistically? Like, he's still going to be the same size he is. That's not going to change. And so he is who he is, and you either like that or you don't. You're either going to live with that or you're not. But right now we're questioning, is he going to be in a first rounder because of his size, or is he going to be in the second round because of his size? I think if he has a repeat performance, an encore, and shows the ability to be consistent over two seasons with phenomenal player of the year type numbers, and then takes Kentucky to a national championship, I think then he won't be denied at all. I don't think there'll be as much of a question about first round or second round. That's just me. It's like CNN has that slogan, produce news they can't ignore. I think Tyler Ulis, if he could do that, he would produce results they can't ignore, and he would have a first round chance. But baseball today, opening day for baseball. I mean, if you love baseball, today is a big day. You've got a triple header on ESPN. The Cardinals and the Pittsburgh Pirates at 1 o'clock. Toronto Blue Jays, Tampa Bay Rays at 4 o'clock. The Sunday night baseball game is the New York Mets and Kansas City Royals, the world champion, World Series champion, Kansas City Royals, at 8:30. And then it just continues all week. Monday, ESPN has a triple header. Tuesday, MLB Network has a triple header. Wednesday, between Major League Baseball Network and ESPN, there's a triple header. Thursday, between MLB Network and FS1, there's a triple header. So, I mean, it's all week long. Like, if you love baseball and golf, You take the week off, you watch the Masters and baseball all week. Yeah. Now, for some sports fans, especially the younger generation, that's probably the most boring thing ever. Watching golf and baseball on TV.
But I'd rather watch golf for sure. But by the, you can catch tomorrow afternoon at 12:30 here the Houston Astros at the Yankees.
Yes.
On our air, and then of course the national championship game tomorrow night. But coming up tonight, 5:30, the women's Final Four begins right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
That's what, Washington and Syracuse and UConn and.
Doesn't matter.
Exactly. Thanks for listening to the Dan and Mary Jo Show. Have a wonderful day and week ahead.
You know you love the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
Does Levitard get all his hats from a gas station?